Introduction. All great journeys start by leaving home, and that too is where mine began.
"Car's all loaded up,"
I told my dad as I slammed the trunk door shut, pinning the overflowing boxes of clothes up against the inside of the window.
"Oh, we're good then,"
he yelled back from inside as he filled up his mug of coffee.
"I'll need a Binghamton cup soon, you know,"
he commented as he took a sip. For the next 3 hours, I stared out the window, only breaking my gaze to make nervous small talk so that my folks up front knew I was still breathing, with images of my house still etched into my mind. The car finally came to a halt. I fought the tears away, struggling to process the sudden end of one era and the raw beginning of the next. "Well, my dorm is the one on the left," I said to my dad as I unclicked the seatbelt.
"Welcome to Binghamton."
I turned to see a student dressed in a crisp green polo and light brown khaki shorts, who was as chirpy and overly happy as you'd expect one to be who volunteers to greet new students at the dorms.
"Can I help you with your bags?"
she asked. I gave a slight nod of acceptance and looked up at the dorm. "Holy crap," I said in a hushed voice. "Here I am." The words still reverberate in my mind as if I had just heard them a few hours ago. "You will be a totally different person when you graduate in 4 years." These were my stepmom's final words as she and my dad said their last goodbyes. They hugged me, wished me good luck, and then turned and walked out of my dorm room as if they were just going into the kitchen for a quick snack. But this time they were leaving for good. The silence poured into my new room as I stoically watched my dad's SUV pull out of the parking lot and disappear around the bend. It was as if I had suffered a traumatic experience and refused to let my true emotions escape. Instead, I blankly looked out the parking lot, now void of the SUV, and sighed, my heart heavy. I then looked down at my packed bags, still fully stocked for the journey ahead, and took a mental snapshot, instantly cataloging it into my long-term memory. Next to the luggage were my newly purchased textbooks, these roadmaps still in their plastic seals, waiting to be used. Not one page had yet to be turned. And those walls, the white walls that I stared at, there was no personality or character yet, a literal blank slate. These walls were going to quickly be filled in the next few months like a detective pinning clues to a bulletin board. Each item would be connected, the entire map soon enough representing my time as an undergrad. As I sat there alone on my bed, I tried to imagine what college would be like, how all of the pieces of the investigation would fit. I knew how the movies portrayed it. I knew what my mind thought it would be like. I knew what the college review sites had to say about it. But in reality, I had no idea what I was about to experience. The baseball, the classes, the friends, and the memories to come were all still ahead of me. This was day one of my expedition. My extraordinary experience at Binghamton University, located in the rolling hills of upstate New York, captured a special life-changing voyage that began with a simple, "We love you, best of luck," from my dad. I had known for quite some time that college was quickly approaching, but like that of a distant city skyline, which steadily grows bigger and bigger as you approach, until suddenly you're off the highway and smack downtown, it came much too quick. Nevertheless, after the hugs, kisses, and handshakes, reality began to set in. I was on my own. Now it was solely my responsibility to become the different, better person my stepmom had prophesied. 4 years later, I could finally confirm her prediction was dead on. College was a great time. Being a college student athlete made for an even better time. That's not to say there weren't low points, but my 4 years at Binghamton offered everything that a full college education is supposed to. To see the stark difference firsthand between an incoming freshman who didn't have these 4 years and a graduating senior who did, and how the former became the latter was a wonderful transformation to witness. A freshman could sometimes disguise himself on the field as being older and more mature, but that illusion quickly vanished when around my classmates for even a little while. I came to learn that a freshman just hadn't had the life experiences of a senior, and no amount of home runs, touchdowns, or three-pointers in one semester could change that. It was only when I was a senior looking back that I realized how far removed mentally and physically a senior usually is from a freshman. It would take a full 4 years as a Division I athlete for me to understand this. This story is about how my time at college transformed me from the young freshman sitting naively on my bed on move-in day into the confident young adult of today. It describes my ride as a student, as a baseball player, and as a person. It's a documented record of how I became that totally different person, and how baseball, school, and life were the platforms for this transformation. Quickly, Binghamton University in upstate New York became my home. The snow-covered hills became the comfortable backdrop to which I awoke each morning. It was a life that became so normal and so consistent that the concept of it ending was incalculable. But as the days became months, and the months turned to years, I slowly began to see that college would not last forever. What I saw when reflecting on my time at Binghamton was a collage, years of scattered memories that, only when deciphered and properly organized, represented my story of growth, heartache, and love. For 4 years, I was fortunate enough to play Division I college baseball. Though my story is not filled with All-American accolades and trophies named in my honor, it does convey the very real life lessons and experiences that many student athletes encounter. Being a college athlete is so much more than just competing on a field. Quote, "You can only juggle two balls at a time, sports and school. And if you try to juggle a third ball, social life, you'll surely drop them all," our assistant athletic director used to say during his start of the year speech. Well, we defied this little analogy and juggled 5 or 6 balls simultaneously. This story details my juggling expertise. Coming into college, I had wanted a scholarship for reasons that far outdistanced the obvious one, reduced tuition payments, though I was sure my family was more than happy with this benefit. For me, however, the scholarship went above pure financial incentives. It was also a sign of pride that I was good enough to be endorsed with real money by coaches who were paid to win. Having that unwavering support became the key reason I turned down other offers at non-scholarship programs. The scholarship proved that I was a good player, but it also proved that I had someone in my corner. Like so many Northerners, I had dreams of playing down south, where sunny skies and warm breezes would greet me each morning. "I'm a Southerner at heart who just happened to be born in Connecticut," I'd tell people after complaining about an early spring game in the mid-40s. I had always assumed I would right this wrong come college. There were plenty of good baseball colleges down south that also offered the high academic level I sought, and saw nothing to prevent me from going down there. This was the subject of my first lesson, Plans Have a Way of Changing. As I woke so many mornings to see snow on my Binghamton windowsill, I was constantly reminded that I did not make it down south. Nor did I forget this turn of fate when, in the on-deck circle in a mid-April game, I could see and feel the snow gusting at my face. Binghamton is about as far away from Florida as you can get, geographically and meteorologically. Weeks can go by during the long and cold winter stretch without the sun paying its respects even once. Waking up at exactly 7:52 a.m. every morning for my first class, every minute of sleep counts in college, and immediately seeing my breath as I exhaled became the norm. Dusting snow off my car was a daily ritual. Skidding on the icy roads was a common practice, but this was the place where I got to play D1 college baseball, where I got to make my pilgrimage up to the baseball gods. I was a talented baseball player, but had a few shortcomings that held me back, all of which became apparent at college. As a result, I lived on a bobbing scale, always one slight touch away from falling out of balance. I had all of the tools and dedication to be a superstar, but also possessed the all-too-real possibility of mediocrity. Like the slow-ticking second hand of a grandfather clock, progression is slow, and painful to watch if you continue to stare, but breathtaking if you look only periodically. The minutes in between each glance are where this book occurs and where I learned how to keep my scale in equilibrium. Baseball is a game of failure, but wherever I turned, I only saw accounts of success, a memoir of a recruit who committed to the University of Florida, a player's experience in the minor leagues, a biography of a Hall of Famer. There was nothing to represent the vast majority of the athletic population that wasn't going to play in the fabled Southeastern Conference. I searched for something more, but found nothing but my own writings and journals staring back at me. Where was the story about the people who had to fight and struggle to succeed? I wanted to hear from someone who didn't necessarily hit 405 with 22 home runs in college. Most of us aren't first-round draft picks, and it seemed too often that the few who did sign $2 million contracts were the ones telling their stories. This memoir plays out a much different scenario than that of the rich superstar. It reflects what happens to many thousands of students across time and space. It's the simple story of an 18 to 22-year-old kid just trying to figure out life, while also having to worry about corporate finance exams and breaking balls. It's my insight into college baseball, but more importantly, it's my insight into what it is like to be a college athlete. Going with a pitch is a learned ability for most. Adjusting to the location and speed of a pitch is not something that comes naturally to a lot of people, myself included. One must be taught and reminded to not do too much with the ball and to instead simply use the angle, direction, and trajectory of the pitch to one's advantage. In other words, take what is given to you and make the best of it. Not every pitch is meant to be a home run. Understanding how to succeed regardless of where the ball is thrown is something only acquired through time, trial and error, and experience. This is a long learning process that for most starts as a small child, a baseball card, and a miniature piece of leather stitched together. Baseball is a passion that extracts out the spectacular from the ordinary. But this comes with a cost. Patience, faith, and determination must all be pledged without question or regret. The game must be allowed to implant itself in your heart, body, and soul if you are to overcome its many challenges. Only then can one truly be at peace with what, quote, is and always will be, to me, the best game in the world. The only real game in the world, I think, is baseball. You've got to start way down, at the bottom. When you're 6 or 7 years old, you can't wait until you're 15 or 16. You've got to let it grow up with you, and if you're successful and you try hard enough, you're bound to come out on top, just like these boys have come to the top now. Babe Ruth, in his 1948 farewell speech at Yankee Stadium. This text is my journey of leaving home and of the sacrifices and costs I incurred on my excursion through the thick jungle of college and college baseball. It is my story of growing up with the game and how learning to go with the pitch was responsible for me making it out of the wilderness intact and better for it.